Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Howdy, this is Jim Brackmeyer of baseball broadcast fame, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, from one legend to another, how's about we crack open a couple of pops and call a game together sometime?
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show on a beautiful day in New York City, March 22nd, 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and of course you. We're on until 7 o'clock. There's so much to talk about, so many things to do, and we'll start off with the WBC.
Woo! Woo!
You all know how much I love baseball, but you there's baseball. One fundamental flaw in baseball.
Yeah.
And the fundamental flaw is this. When the game is on the line, your best player is probably not involved. There's a 1-in-9 chance, or maybe, let's say, 9th inning, 3-in-9 chance that'll be involved. In basketball, game's on the line for the Lakers, the ball's in LeBron's hands. In football, game's on the line, the offense has the ball, it's obviously in Patrick Mahomes' hands.
Right.
Yankees could be down by one in the biggest game that they'll ever play.
Right.
And Aaron Judge is not due up until the seventh play.
And it's 7-8-9.
Right. In New York. 7-8-9. Right. Yeah. Last night was the script that some mad scientist somehow put together and said, it's a one-run game, two outs. We're going to have the greatest player in baseball over the last 20 years against this freakishly talented unicorn on the mound, who happens to be his teammate with the Angels. Sit back and enjoy. And I don't know how anybody could not like what happened yesterday except for Mike Trout, who now obviously has to own it with the guy in his own locker room. But that was an amazing piece of sports theater that we wouldn't have gotten if there wasn't a WBC. But it was phenomenal. And for those that don't know and don't care, Mike Trout struck out on this filthy 87-mile-an-hour slider after he had pumped like 302-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Yeah, he reached 100, then 102, and then he comes back with the 87-mile-per-hour slider and strikes him out. I was listening to it driving home from the Rangers.
Where was it on?
I found it on the baseball channel on Sirius XM. So
who was on the call?
I didn't know. But by the time I got to my car and turned it on, it was actually McNeil up to lead off the inning.
Who had a great at bat.
Had a great at bat, got on, and then Betts grounds into the double play, and then that sets up Trout 3-2. And Ohtani, I guess, would have been up fourth in the bottom of the ninth inning had Trout tied the game. So there was a chance that they could have Ohtani could have had a say when it was all over. That was captivating. It was fun. What I thought about as I was driving, because, again, I wasn't watching, I don't think anybody was going to be complaining about, you know, speed it up, pitch clock. Like, if there's a time you don't want the pitch clock, even if you're in favor of it, is those tension-filled moments where television, you were watching it, I was listening to it, but kind of captivates each pitch, right? The buildup is so amazing. That's the one, I guess, negative about the pitch clock is, do you really want to speed up those moments?
I Peter, you watched on TV like I did.
TV, yeah.
I believe that was all done with, you know, a pace to it. There wasn't much more than 15 seconds between each pitch.
It's almost like something was said. Like, hey, we're not doing the pitch clock here, but let's get things going.
I would think it would behoove these pitchers, including Ohtani, who is a starting pitcher, to get with the program, right? Even though you're at the WBC, you want to get used to it. Pretty soon you're going to have to worry about a pitch clock, so it's probably a smart thing to do. But listen, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
When do you ever get that moment? You couldn't script it better.
No. If somebody handed you the script, you're going to ask, this doesn't seem realistic.
And then you get into that moment where I'm rooting for Trout. I want Trout to tie the game.
Right.
You know, so I asked you this before the show, Michael, and I'll ask it again on the air. Do we have these moments? Are we talking about the WBC at all? Seriously. If Diaz doesn't get hurt. It seemed like Diaz getting hurt introduced a lot of baseball fans to the WBC. Because to give Michael a break, you know, Michael's opinions didn't age well when he came on the day after Diaz's injury. But Michael was playing to the room. The overwhelming majority of people agreed with Michael. But it's, let me turn on this WBC. Let me see what's going on here. And then people got turned on to it. I'm wondering if Diaz didn't get hurt, would we have gotten as much interest in general? I mean, the people, you know, Puerto Rico and Japan and Mexico. But from our standpoint, it almost as if the Diaz injury put the WBC on the map
for
some people.
I think it certainly put more eyeballs on the event. But I think that some of the great endings would have, you know, very quietly brought people aboard. But yeah, I think so. Well, let's see what's going on here after the Diaz injury.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, everybody knew the WBC was there, but it wasn't really on your radar. It put it on your radar, and then you see these great moments, and then you see how captivating it is. And again, I'm not the biggest soccer fan, as you guys know, but if you give me a compelling moment in a soccer game and I'm just a fan of competition, how am I not going to be drawn in? It's 3-2. It's Trout versus Ohtani.
Doesn't get better. It's actually interesting you mentioned that. It reminds me of the World Cup final this year. You remember that last game where everyone started watching it? Because it was a comeback and then it went to PKs. It was just wild.
Moments like
that.
And where was I when that happened?
Right.
You know, sitting in front of my television watching the end of it because social media says, hey, look what's going on here. And it's now on my radar. And I watch it because, again, you can hate hockey, but if I give you overtime in a game 7,
you'd have to be a madman.
You know, if you've got any kind of competition in you, any kind of heart, any kind of soul, you're going to get caught up in stuff.
If you're a woman,
I don't want to give it. Okay,
no, why bring it to that? This WBC wrap-up on 98.7 ESPN.
That's a quick turnaround to sell. Good job out of sales.
Is driven by Ramsey Mazda. Now, as I was watching that, it made me think of this. And let me throw it out there for the people. When I say the people, I mean all of you.
Sure.
Is Shohei Ohtani the greatest player in the four major sports? Is there anybody better than him? Now, Connor McDavid has to be in the discussion. Patrick Mahomes has to be in the discussion. Yeah. Aaron Judge has to be in the discussion. Who am I leaving out? I guess LeBron, even though he's 39 years old, has to be in the discussion.
Well, who's the best basketball player, right? I don't think it's LeBron.
It's not LeBron, but I guess it's Giannis or Embiid or...
It's certainly up for debate now. Right. I think that's why we've got some parity in basketball now.
Ronaldo.
But I said four majors.
Oh, just the four, sorry.
Because
Mbappe would be in the conversation.
Mbappe, Messi, Ronaldo.
They're American.
Yes.
But when you look at Ohtani, right, who else plays both sides of the ball? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody plays both sides. Well, I guess in soccer you...
Well, in basketball and hockey, you could be a good defender.
Right.
Right? You're out there. I mean, I'm sure there's NBA players that are equally good offensively and defensively. Or are there any that are elite offensively and defensively?
No, I mean, Marcus Smart is terrific on both sides of the ball, but he's not an elite scorer.
Right, and if you look at Ohtani, he would be one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball if he didn't hit. And if he hit and didn't pitch, he'd be one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the top three. So, I mean, there's never been a combination of that. They mentioned this on the broadcast.
Isn't he close to top 10 in both right now?
Yeah, he is.
He's like right there.
So I'm just saying, if he only did one,
he'd be top 5.
And now you're getting two. That's why people are putting $50 million as a price tag on when he's a free agent at the end of the year. By the way, I agree with every single American pitcher that didn't go to the WBC. I still do. Despite coming around on the tournament, I think it's more important to win the World Series, but we'll get into that as we move along. Shohei Ohtani put everything on the line. Do you realize that? He's in the last year of his contract. Came in relief. Pitched a couple of times in the WBC. Could have blown his arm out. Didn't care. Total stud. But they're saying $50 million a year. I believe it's going to be more. I believe it could touch $60 million a year. I'm going to tell you why. You're going to have the Mets and the Dodgers bidding against each other. Two hedge fund behemoths that don't care if they lose money or not. You might throw in the Padres. Padres are operating under a completely different financial playbook than I've ever seen before because they're handing out money that their actual area of the country can't support. It just can't. Right. It just can't. I think he's going to get close to $60 million a year.
And that's why I think the only way he plays any moment for the Yankees is if the Angels trade him at the deadline this year and the Yankees go for him. Because once he becomes a free agent, Michael, I don't know, can the Yankees dance with the Dodgers and the Mets when the money's just going to get stupid?
They could, but if the money gets stupid, Hal will not get stupid.
Well, that's my point.
Right.
Is that what we're saying is when you're talking about a Steve Cohen who is, you know, doesn't care about the threshold, he just wants his shiny new toy, he might decide, all right, well, who cares? I'll go to $65 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point, the Yankees will tap out saying, listen, that just doesn't make a lot of sense for us. Because they're working with a budget. We're talking about the Dodgers and Mets. The budget be damned. And heck, maybe that kind of makes sense too. The money, the Japanese money, because we saw it with Matsui, where the Yankees were able to make a lot of money. There were advertisements on the wall,
yeah,
for Japanese companies and stuff. So you can make a lot of that back. Well, and this is, I'm sorry, this is somebody that's better than Hideki Matsui.
This is a guy, the Angels have because the Angels are not a publicly held company. They don't have to tell you.
Right.
But I have heard that whatever he makes in salary is covered by the amount of money brought in by Japanese interest into Anaheim. That's why he's so valuable. So you could actually up your take of revenue by $30 to $40 million. Mm-hmm. So if you pay him 60, you're paying him $20 million.
So in fact, not only is he likely to get more than 50, he should.
Yeah, he should. First of all, he's a marketer's dream.
Right.
He's incredibly handsome. He's great at what he does.
Very affable seeming.
Yeah, he's a home run.
And now, as I said yesterday, if he gets the best of it and ends that game with a strikeout, last night did a lot to build him in the U.S. After all of our talk about what the WBC is, I think that moment will be a big part of this, of the growth of Shohei Ohtani.
Now, as I sat there, I literally was sitting on the end of my seat. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight other than the United States, but I'm not as jingoistic about sports as other people are.
You just want to see a good game.
I was just enthralled. And I said to myself, who on this earth, this spinning orb in space, could not be transfixed by this?
Oh,
and we found the person.
Who is it?
Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Okay, let's hear.
This is what Chris said on First Take on the Stephen A. Smith vehicle. Here's Chris Russo.
We're going to make this out to be an epic at bat. Really? What has Gibson and Eckersley done in the World Series in Game 1 when Gibson hobbled around the bases and hit the home run against Eckersley, Dodgers A's in 88, one of the great home runs in the history of baseball?
World Series. Absolutely.
But hold it now. Did you see the headlines today? Epic at bat. Incredible moment. What? Yeah, but why? Because they're teammates? I mean, and Trout does nothing but strike out. Trout struck out twice in the game. He strikes out. You know, everybody talks to me about Trout and DiMaggio. I mean, Trout strikes out 175 times a year.
But that doesn't make sense. It was still epic. It doesn't take away from Eckersley against Kirk Gibson.
Do you really? All right. The fact that they're teammates is on the list of why it was epic. But we're talking about two of the best players on the planet.
Right. And probably ever.
See, this is right there in a nice little package with a bow is what's wrong with baseball.
Correct.
Because whether you love him or not, he is one of the gatekeepers of baseball. Chris Russo is on every day on the MLB Network. He's been in this market talking baseball for 30 years.
Now he's on ESPN.
He's one of the people that's an authority on the sport, killing the moment. Being that old man on the lawn. Baseball carnivores itself.
I literally felt the exact same feeling listening to that. I thought, I generally find Chris to be funny, insightful, topical. Honestly, that sounded like one of our babbling on Yankee fans who just don't get it and don't want to get it.
Also, the basis of his argument, it doesn't take away that Gibson and Eckersley was epic.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't take away Welch and Reggie Jackson was epic. Doesn't take it away. It's another epic moment. Epic doesn't mean the greatest of all time. Epic. That was an epic at bat. Forget about the fact they were teammates. Forget about that.
But why?
That's the point.
That's pretty cool, too, though.
But that, as Don said, that's a little, you know, garnishing. Chocolate syrup on the sundae. The fact that they're two of the greatest players who ever lived going up against each other, they're both in their prime for this mythical glorified exhibition championship, and you don't think that's epic?
Maybe if he wants to play games, I could say, well, listen, Gibson was iconic, but it was game one of a series that they eventually swept. You want me to sit there and downplay every great moment? Gibson didn't win the World Series in Game 7. He won Game 1 of a series they went on to win in, what, 5?
But it's an epic moment in baseball history.
But I'm saying I could play the same game he can.
You can always throw cold water on it.
He can throw cold water, and he's purposely throwing cold water because he's anti-WBC, because it's still, well, it's not real baseball. It's just an exhibition. Why can't you take the great moment?
No. Why don't you want it? If you're a baseball fan and you love baseball, I get your issues with the timing, but I think, God, are you not seeing? None of us thought, before all of this started, honestly, how much WBC do you think we'd talk on the show?
Nothing.
We've now talked about it for 4 of the 5 last days. You know why? Not just because it caught our attention. Based on the phone lines, it caught the listeners' attention, too. People want this. Why would you fight against it? It only helps the game of baseball.
If you're not a Met fan or an Astro fan who suffered terrible losses in the WBC, Edwin Diaz and Jose Altuve, what, as a baseball fan, wouldn't you like about this? It's better than Yankees and Nationals today on the east side of Florida. It's better than any Met game down in Port St. Louis. It's better. It's better than any spring training game. As long as your player didn't get hurt and is not set back, you'd have to be a lunatic not to like it.
And what a commercial for your game right before the season starts. Think about it in comparison to exhibition baseball. It's like an anti-commercial. It literally, you got to walk the other direction when exhibition baseball's on. It's a nothing burger. Instead now, you just got 2 weeks of riveting baseball and big news stories. And then guess what? Oh, you just got familiar with Ohtani? The season starts next week.
Yeah, it's a great commercial.
What a commercial for the game.
It's a great infomercial for the game. And yet people in the game are going to tell you that it's no big deal. Let's get back to what really matters. Spring training, getting prepared for what it really matters. The World Series. I mean, come on. I can tell you about contrived events. Listen, you guys may not know, but you may have heard of it. In 72, you know, the Summit Series, Russia versus Canada, completely contrived event. In Canada, 50-plus years later, it's still remembered, the Paul Henderson goal. Nobody in hockey goes, oh, it was an exhibition. It wasn't the Stanley Cup Final. They embrace it. It's a great hockey moment. You know, you're a Sidney Crosby fan. You don't think Sidney Crosby puts his golden goal against the United States in the Olympics up as one of the great accomplishments for him? No, it's an exhibition about the Stanley Cup. I only care about winning the Stanley Cup.
And especially in baseball when, let's be realistic, it's a 162-game season, okay? For a lot of people, just being honest, no offense, Michael, because I know you're working the games. For a lot of people, until we get to June or July, it's exhibition baseball.
Except on Yes. Every game is great.
You can't miss it on Yes.
Also, give me clarity on these things. Why is Don's anti-WBC guy sound like he has some kind of speech impediment?
Let me hear him again.
Yeah, I'm just trying to sound like that old man on the lawn.
That's not the Stanley But there's job. Also there's a speech impediment there. Like, he's got a lot of saliva working.
Well, this is a guy. I'm going to let you know about
Please,
it.
Please, tell me about
it. He's a guy who worked his tail off. He was a foreman at a construction site.
You got a name?
Right. His name's Butch.
Okay.
Butch Yo-Yo, all right? His name's Butch Yo-Yo. Never owned a business, but he worked hard at a construction company.
Sure
Big
he did.
Baseball fan. Only cared about baseball.
He was a foreman.
His grandfather was a season ticket holder to the Yankees. His dad was. He couldn't afford it because he was always working. But he watched every game.
Mm-hmm.
And he cared so much about baseball. And he worked his tail off, and his kids had 4 kids, 2 girls and 2 boys. They all hate him. He's on his 3rd wife.
That's pretty impressive.
He really has is his baseball and his Yankees on Yes and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting up there in age. He's going to be 80 next week.
80?
Yeah. And
I like that.
And his family's not going to come to celebrate because they all hate his guts.
They all hate him.
That's
and
unfortunate.
He's a week away from getting evicted.
Does he know that, or you're saying you know that?
One little thing, he also has one of those lawn chairs that you have on the beach.
Oh, yeah, of course. But he sits on his lawn and
but
yells.
But that voice of yelling at his workers and then yelling at the Yankees, because, oh, man, he'd get on Bobby Mercer and he'd scream at Don Mattingly, "You back bad again, Donnie?"
Yep.
And
if
now
you don't know his
that,
name, his name is...
His name's Butch.
Okay.
Butch Yo-Yo. Right. And now you're getting your 80s and all the screaming and all the yelling. And again, he's also in that situation, Peter, where he's watching Yes on a TV on top of a broken TV, and he's got one of those chaise lounge lawn chairs.
Yeah, sure, like the interlocking leaves. Yeah,
and scattered around the room.
And if you wonder about his family,
Chinese food. He had 4 kids, 2 girls and 2 boys. They all hate him.
Yep.
And so what you're seeing is a life that wasn't well lived.
No.
It wasn't well traveled.
He's not happy. Yeah.
But and that's what that's what the voice now morphs into. It's not the word, Jerry.
Did he smoke? Sounds like a smoker.
Like a chimney.
Yeah. Camels, Pall Mall.
Well, he did what my dad did. Yeah. I mean, because he was similar. What happened to Butch? Butch had a bypass back in the mid '80s. Went from cigarettes to cigars.
Right.
Then he had lung cancer. Went from cigars to a pipe.
Right. Pipe. Sure.
And then he had to triple bypass again, and then stop smoking. So then what he did is he would put a little pinch between his cheek and gum. He would chew.
Yeah. So now his he's got cancer in the lip,
and it was removed. The part of his jaw was removed.
Wow.
So I've painted, I think, a mental picture of this individual for you.
It's real.
If Graphics Joker can maybe, with all the things that I described,
draw a picture of Butch Yo-Yo.
Yeah, just give us a character, guys. I think he deserves
does
it.
Does
baseball carnivores itself?
Does he have...
He made it up. That he made up.
Carnivores itself.
I think he meant, you know, devours carnivore. Itself. Or...
Yeah. Right.
But then he meant carnivore.
Yeah.
But then he said carnivore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just well, I it's said strong carnivore. On so many levels.
Well, no, but I was redundant.
Right.
Because...
Yeah, I think you meant cannibalizes itself.
That is exactly what you meant. No, thank you.
All right, that's true. But a carnivore is somebody that eats its own, right?
No, that's it just eats meat.
Oh, eats meat. We're meat. Hold baseball's
on.
Meat.
Hold on. Let us get this clear right now. What you're talking about is a cannibal, right?
Right.
A cannibal, like Hannibal Lecter, I believe.
Right.
Cannibal eats himself. Will eat other humans.
Right. Cannibalizes.
A carnivore is simply any creature that eats meat.
Right. And, and baseball's
like Paul
meat.
McCartney's not a carnivore.
No, he's a vegetarian.
He's a vegetarian.
Correct.
Or vegan, I believe.
Yeah.
Baseball's meat.
Charger. Oh, no, he's a Ram.
All right, the WBC wrap-up driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. That really took a turn that I didn't expect. I'm glad it took that turn.
Well, it all came from a question. Michael wanted to know why I chose that voice.
Right.
And it didn't come from just out of nowhere.
No, now you understand.
There's a backstory. I'm like a method actor. I need a backstory.
Tell me this guy's story, and now you know what Yo-Yo is.
That's right.
And why he sounds the way he does.
And I didn't think he had any... I didn't think it was going to work when he said Butch. I thought it was lazy. I was like, that's not a good name. And then when I found out his last name was Yo-Yo, that's when it came together.
Today is Would You Wednesday. I've got three scintillating scenarios.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, violence or sex? Or are we going to break
you have
everything.
To wait and see. That's
it's,
the thing.
It's everything.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I saw this note the other day. Before we get to your phone calls, I promise we will. But some things just stick in my mind. I've got to ask Don and Peter because it could elicit a great response. And I had forgotten about it. And then I was listening to Bart and Han driving in, and they reminded me because they spoke about it. So, you know, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, Larsa.
Oh, I sure do.
No, sure.
Who is now dating Michael Jordan's son.
Yeah, I saw her, actually.
And she said if she ever marries him, she will take the Jordan last name. She sounds like quite a gal.
Wait, when did she say that?
In this interview, but that's not even the big part. She said that when she was married, and if you have kids in the car, the reason I'm saying this now because they're probably not out of school just yet, earmuffs. She said that when she was married to Scottie Pippen, without exception, they had relations four times a day. And I just can't believe it. And Wilt Chamberlain just phoned in from heaven. He can't believe it either. Can you believe that that's true? Four times a day, every day.
And they were together from, what, like his whole, early 90s?
How did the guy walk during his Bulls years?
Early 90s to like 2010 or something?
Yeah, long time.
No. Now, maybe this is just a sad telling thing about you and me, but I can't imagine. I mean, maybe Pippen was getting like, you know, it was the 80s and 90s. Maybe they were pumping him up with some sort of super fuel.
But okay, even if he had super fuel, why would you want to do it four times a day?
Because you can't stop because you're all juiced up.
Interesting.
No, I'm just trying to think.
Sometimes people lie.
You think it's simple as that?
Completely made up.
So she's saying that they were at 28 times a week.
Yeah. Without exception. There was not like days that they took off.
But you also have to factor in that there's also monthly things to make that impossible. So that brings down the average quite a bit.
Well, it's not impossible.
Not impossible.
I really don't want to think about it.
Yeah, I know. That's probably too far.
No, it's a made-up story.
She's a quote. No, you can't, Natalie. A lot of people have questions about Butch Yo-Yo. Blanderson Hooper said, I can see Dad having season ticks, but Grandpa too? Highly unlikely. That's a long time ago.
Why?
Charlie writes,
they were only 30 cents a season.
I think Butch Yo-Yo was my brother's Little League coach back in 89. Blanderson again says, if Butch Yo-Yo is 80, that means he was born in 1943. How did both his father and grandfather have season tickets to the Yankees before that?
Why is that impossible?
I don't follow.
Well, his father
he
probably had it in 43, right?
Well, but why did he have to have season tickets right when the kid was born? Maybe he had season tickets.
No, but then the father before that, you think they were like buying season tickets in 1923?
No,
when my dad was born?
No, it was like 1925.
So it works out for you.
Even in the 30s.
The Butch Yo-Yo story works.
But why couldn't the grandfather buy season tickets when the father was already grown up? Maybe he decided to buy his season tickets when he was like 50.
Good point.
He had the whole Murderer's Row sign a ticket stub. And the grandfather then sold that for $7, which
they
was a lot of money.
Tickets back in the day, didn't they?
I don't know. I wasn't born then.
When was the old first season tickets? Good question.
Ooh, that is a very good question.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Neil in the Bronx. Neil, talk to us, baby.
Hey, how you doing, Kay? And I'm sure you could agree with me. Even though the Yankees lost, I thought the Arizona Yankees World Series was some of the greatest baseball I ever seen.
I agree with you. They had three all-time games in a seven-game set.
Exactly, with their walk-offs pushing to a seven. For watching the WBC, Ohtani versus Trout, I would have to rank that number one, and I'm ranking Arizona Yankees number two, and I'm a big-time Yankee fan. I had that as the greatest games I have ever seen. I mean, you give me your take on that.
Well, I mean, I say the 2001 World Series is probably the greatest World Series ever played, because if you have one all-time game in there, you love it. If you have two, you're really fortunate. Three, it just doesn't happen. They had the two home runs against Byung-Young Kim on successive days at a sold-out Yankee Stadium. They had the president, George Bush, throw out that first pitch with the whole world watching, and then they had Mariano blow the lead and lose a game in game seven. It's three all-time games. But I think the only thing, and this convinces me that I'm right with my essential take on the WBC. If Ohtani Trout, a matchup like that, let's say Ohtani Judge, which it can't be. So let's say in the American League Championship Series, game seven, Yankees Angels. If that's the last at bat, that would go down as one of the all-time at bats. The fact that it was in a glorified exhibition, although it's scintillatingly entertaining, to me, the World Series is still the money.
Well, I mean, everybody's going to have their own opinion, but I think that caller, a little bit of recency bias. Is that something that will be remembered 20, 30 years from now? Maybe for some people, for sure. But right now, it was an epic matchup. But is it going to survive all the great baseball moments or sports moments we're going to see over the next 20, 30 years where you're still going to remember where you were in that particular moment? You know, less than 24 hours later, sure, it's epic, it's great, and I do think it has some lasting value.
Is this number real?
Which one?
97% of TVs in Japan were watching it?
The only thing that would make me wonder, and maybe this is one of the reasons why it could be 97%, the game, I believe it was like 8:30 in the morning. So everybody was up, going to work, so maybe they had it on TV.
Wow.
I don't know how their TV works. Like,
well, you turn it on.
And then the images, flashing images come up. You accompanied
I mean,
by sound.
They have, I mean, could they have just, it was on every channel? Like, I don't know how it
works
there.
Oh, like it's on multiple news channels, like public channels or something?
Yeah. Where this is the only, like every other network like laid out because they wanted this moment.
So it's like the moon landing.
I wonder what Ohtani's like there. Like, can he even
do it? God.
But like, he must never be able to.
Well, their baseball stars are absolute gods. They're like Michael Jordan. That's why Hideki Matsui lives here. He doesn't live in Japan. He's one of the Beatles in Japan.
And here he can probably move around.
Move around and nobody will say a word. Like, if he's on the East Coast, I'm not going to say where he lives. And people say, hey, you know, Hideki, a wave. He couldn't move. When the Yankees went to Japan and played that opening series and he was on the eight, it was like traveling with the Beatles. Every time that people saw his face, they started screaming and fainting.
Were you moving around with the team?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. But
and did you see the video? There's a video yesterday of Messi in Argentina. Do you see that?
No.
Messi was in Argentina and went to dinner and the public found out. Never seen anything like that for a celebrity here in the States. Never. I mean, the entire street where the restaurant was filled like it was a full-on planned rally after a championship. And then he goes into the restaurant, and there's a standing ovation screaming. It's really wild.
So it got messy. Thank you. I'm here all week.
We don't give these jobs to champs.
Let's go to Liam. He's in Tennessee, and he was at the finals yesterday.
There you go.
What was it like, Liam?
Oh, you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I'm relatively young. I'm only 19 years old. So, like, being there and, like, having everybody say that it's, like, an all-time moment, it was so cool. And I went to the last four games. So I went on spring break. And I have a story to tell you guys about it. So
okay.
When I went to the Cuba game, the Cuba-USA game, I got there real early, and I went down while they were taking BP. And, you know, everybody's paying attention to the USA players hitting BP, and Jeff Passan walked by me. And I said, hey, Jeff. And he looked at me, and I said, I think you're better than Steve Young. And he started cracking up, and I was like,
really? What an ego
Michael
on him.
Michael K. Show reference.
Wow. We love that, man.
That's a great job by you, by the way.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say about the WBC, I think you guys are right. Like, I think the problem with baseball is we're constantly trying to compare. Like, why does one have to be a threat to the other? Like, I get the injury thing, but it's just great for the game. Like, everything's an exhibition relative to each other, but in their own way, they're amazing. And you see how special it is to everybody. I mean, the crowds were so crazy. Like, Don, you'll get this. It was like playoff hockey, but with, like, 35,000 people.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I
that amazing.
I went to a WBC game in Arizona. I forget who Mexico was playing, and the place was packed. So I've seen it for myself how amazing it is. But that happens in sports. Why one thing gets compared to the other? Because my generation was better than your generation, or what I saw was better than what you saw. Even that caller, for us older guys, 2001's not that long ago.
Right.
But for that caller, he wasn't alive for the Diamondback-Yankee series. If he's 19 years old, Michael, he wasn't alive in 2001. So
wow,
that's his dad's moment. So don't you think that's what it's really about? It's not comparing moments. It's generations comparing moments.
And tell me, when was the last, like, absolutely epic at-bat in Major League Baseball?
Well, I guess you'd have to say when the Cardinals, who was it that hit the ball over Nelson Cruz's head? They were down to their last out in Game 6 against the Rangers in the World Series. And they won, and when Joe Buck said, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Right, Donner is dead, yeah.
And then they had a great Game 7, too. That was amazing.
And that was like what?
And then the 18-inning Dodgers World Series game.
Oh, yeah, with Red Sox,
Nathan
Dodgers,
Eovaldi, yeah.
Yeah,
that was great as well.
But the point is, they don't come along every day.
No, these are special moments. I really am kind of surprised at Chris Russo to take that tack. Why would you take away from that moment? It was exhilarating.
I got news for you, though. There's a reason people get called to come back to First Take over and over again. And it's not because they have the same take as everybody else. It's because they say something that ends up trending.
True. Let's go to Jose in the Central Islip. Jose.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I'm born and bred in the Bronx, born and raised, Mr. K.
Love
Peter
it.
Rosenberg.
Yo.
My cousin was the role manager for Eric Sermon.
Wow.
My ex-wife is Canadian. Lived in Toronto for 10 years. So I know the hockey game. Ottawa and Toronto, I went to a preseason game one time, and there was like five fights in the first period.
Wow.
But I will say, Chris Russo, First off, you're dealing with a broken batter in Kirk Gibson, and you throw him a breaking pitch. You should be throwing fastballs all day, every day. But anyway, I had trials with the Mets when I was younger. Scouted by Baltimore, trials from Minnesota. My father played with Jose Cruz over there in Puerto Rico. So I don't want to preface that. All I got to say is that was a great – hold on one second.
We're going to say goodbye. Thank you, because there's only just so much information I can process over a certain period of time. There were literally 15 different subjects in 30 seconds.
I got to tell you, that was almost remarkable.
And I think he hit the quota, so thank you for the phone call.
And the guy I was talking about, David Freese, hit that ball over Nelson Cruz's head.
But that's not an epic match. It's an epic moment. But we're talking about two of the best players in the game. Eckersley Gibson was a fair comp, but when you talk about the sheer greatness of the two players, I mean, you can make the case that last night was bigger. As good as Eckersley's in the Hall of Fame.
Gibson's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Gibson's not a Hall of Famer. Now, they were both stars at the time, but these are literally the two best players. If you came up with a top five, if you came up with a top three, they're both in there. What would it be? Ohtani, Judge, Trout, whatever order you want?
Yeah, Mookie Betts hitting to the double play before it. It's time for the Hoops Update, brought to you by a new Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, or as Peter would say, Coca-Cola. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola is here. Born for what's next. Born for a bolder taste. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Born for this. Enjoy responsibly. Tomorrow, Madison Square Garden hosts the Sweet 16 East Region matchups. Tom Izzo and 7-seeded Michigan State look to keep their tournament run going against 3rd-seeded Kansas State at 6:30. The winner of that game will face the winner of 9th-seeded FAU and 4th-seeded Tennessee. When we come back...
Oh, by the way, being reported by Schefter, Elijah Moore to the Cleveland Browns.
And by the way, Mecole Hardman signed with the Jets.
So there you go.
Another wide receiver. And we have Would You Wednesday coming up in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I could.
Really?
But she's total smoke show.
At times incriminating.
Well, hold on.
Let's not be rash.
Don, hold on, but don't answer yet.
And a Michael K. Show favorite.
Michael, you're such a chime.
It's the Would You Game.
We play it off the air all the time. The Would You Game. We're always excited about this. Our fans love it. And it's become a national institution as well.
And hands down. And I mean this with every fiber of my being.
Yeah.
Hands down, the least moronic Wednesday bit happening in radio today.
Interesting.
Hands down, the least.
And you say this with no irony at all. None.
None whatsoever.
And no enmity.
Not at all. I mean, I don't know if it's less moronic than Whitish Wednesday, which today was, it's beautiful. But this is right there at the
top. All right, this is Would You Wednesday. Here we go. Would you rather have BO every day and not know about it? Or, if not, you'd have to smell everyone's BO for the rest of your life.
Wow. So it's essentially what you're asking is, would you rather stink or have to smell stink?
Right.
But you don't know you stink. See, that's the thing.
But everyone else does.
But you don't know that.
Again, would you rather smell like BO but never know it, or smell other people's BO at all times of the day?
So, real quick, let me ask a question. Everyone smells your BO and you don't know it. So does that mean you never get any ramifications?
Well, no. You don't smell it, but they could tell you, you smell.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking I'm losing jobs. I don't know why.
Can't get a woman.
No, but Michael, I could stink the high heaven. It doesn't bother me. Right? Your BO doesn't bother you, though.
If I don't have BO, but if I had it, I'd smell myself.
I mean, do I smell like a, filth? Yeah.
No, but you'll smell worse to me than I'll smell to me.
Yeah, but I
can live with it.
Sure. But I couldn't live with the ramifications. I'd rather smell other people.
I would rather smell other people, yeah. I mean,
really?
It would stink, but what kind of life am I going to have?
But what kind of life would you have if you smell other people's BO?
I'd be able to.
Every day.
I think you would eventually get used to it.
well, you're hoping.
Wait, no, all of a sudden now, everyone you know has BO?
No, everyone who has BO, you'll smell. Not everybody.
Nothing. That's likely. That's nothing.
I don't run in BO circles.
Really?
No.
Because everybody that has BO, I'm going to probably smell them.
All right. Would you, as a baseball fan, let's say you're a Dominican baseball fan. No, let's say you're a Puerto Rican baseball fan.
Okay.
And you love the Puerto Rican team in the WBC. Sure.
I have two of the hats. I have the blue and the red.
And Francisco Lindor is on the Puerto Rican team. Mm. Would you rather the Puerto Rican team win the WBC? Or would you rather the Mets win the World Series?
Well, this you have to ask someone who has a real life horse in the race. Right. Because America, we're not going to care enough.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't
care. Well, put yourself in the place of a Puerto Rican fan.
Well, no, I'll look at it this way. Would I, let's say, you know, when I was growing up a Devil fan, would I want Marty Brodeur to win the Stanley Cup or the gold medal for Canada?
Right.
But let's say he was an American. Would I want him to win?
Right.
I'd want to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, that's not even... You said my take hasn't aged well. I think it's aged beautifully.
Because that's also...
But that's just me.
But yeah, and we can't identify with it because Americans don't care nearly as much about international competition. Yeah.
International baseball.
Particularly baseball. I don't care about basketball. I don't care about... Well, I was rooting for the American team, although last night I was more into the situation than the team. The only, as I've said yesterday or 2 days ago, the only American team that I would literally like freak out for is the soccer team.
Okay. Here's a dandy. You ready?
You sure?
Would you? During Would You Wednesday, we've said how much we love life. We want to live a long time.
Yeah.
If you knew that every time that you had carnal relations, every single time.
Carnal?
Sex. Every time that you've had sex, and every time from this day forward that you had sex in your life.
We're going to be hearing that again, though.
That it would shave one day off the end of your life. Would you do it? Would you ever have sex again?
Yes.
When am I making this decision?
I wouldn't be with Larsa Pippen.
Wait a minute. When
You'd
am I
be
making
dead it, by the end of the
when
week.
When am I making this decision?
Let's say when you were...
Because I'm making it now. I'd lose a week?
Yeah, if you had to make it at like 18,
I mean, I'm
though.
55 with so 5-year-old twins. I might have 7 left before I die.
So you have 7 in the chamber. 25 years old.
When I was 25.
All right.
I did not have a ton of confidence in myself.
Right.
So I probably would. I would do it.
Because
I wouldn't think that it would accumulate to the point where matter that much.
Yeah, he'd be fine taking it.
All right, so let's say you, Peter, you're younger than both of us, and
what are the options again?
Every time you have sex from now on will shave a day off the end of your life. Yes. You have no idea how long you live.
Right, true.
So let's say that you're 43.
Mm-hmm.
That you have 100 times sex the rest of your life. I think I'm being very generous. 100 times you'll have sex the rest of your life.
That's
wait till you get married. And
that's so depressing to say it that way.
All right. And then you lose 100 days off the end of your life.
I'm good. I'll take that.
But then on day what would have been day 92, your daughter's getting married. You've got to walk her down the aisle. You're missing that because you're an animal and you couldn't cut out sexual relations.
Well, why would I miss 92?
Because you lost 100 days at the end of your life. So you would have been alive for your daughter's wedding and walking her down the aisle.
And instead,
you're dead because of sex you had as a 45-year-old.
Well, but guess what? My daughter's only alive because of that same sex. So you got to go with what you got to go with. You know what I mean?
You feel the same way, Don?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I would probably just say, I'm good.
Yeah, I'd be.
I'd find other ways.
Now,
that's the other question. Yeah, sex.
You could find.
Because we've had this conversation off before. There's some trades I'd make.
Carnal?
Sex. That's a front runner for next year's drop match.
I'll tell you off the air, you'll completely agree.
Things you would trade off.
No, he's saying that there's other ways to make yourself happy.
Yes.
Well, we all
other
know.
Than,
is that a surprise?
No, for him it is, I guess.
So what I'm saying is, does that count?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't count as sex.
It doesn't count as sex.
Yeah, you're good.
No, then I'm good.
Well, there you have it.
Live
another
forever.
Great edition.
Well, what about this?
Forever.
What about this? What about this? You can do that, but you can never own an iPad. Are you still in?
I have a very creative mind.
Any sort of video device is out.
I'll have a chip implant sometime in the future. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.